In today's episode of the Foden Bead Show, we'll recap the end of the pod phase, speak with Plaucien about his fleet, and then talk about a few notable Swiss matchups. Welcome to the Foden Bead Show, a weekly podcast about the Star Wars Armada Vassal World Cup. Hello and welcome. I'm Rythos42, and with me today is Armchair Jedi.
Hello there.
We're going to start this episode with a recap of this week's event news, and then we'll talk with Plaucien about his hammerheads and how they performed in the pods. How are the pods looking this week, Armchair?
Well, they're done. We're recording this on February 1st, and the pod phase wrapped up a day early on the 30th. So let's see how everything shook out. Starting with Pod Tarkin. Giotto Ott's defeated Mike P in the final game 6-5. That wasn't enough to send either of them through, though. Louis Andre and Big Papa Palpatine are both back in the Swiss from last year. In Pod de Donna, unskilled First Officer and Sam both clinched, but played their final match against each other to determine seeding. USO went on to defeat Sam 8-3, but Sam still retained top seed by 1 point. For those of you following the props bet, Sam finishes on 22 points, 627 MOV. Biggs took the over and now owes me a Coke.
I think you're going to have to go and visit him somewhere to get that Coke.
Oh, I'm coming for my Coke, Biggs. In Pod Garm, Taserface defeated GM Thrawn 8-3 to advance on 20 points. Outbound Flight was the top seed with 23 points. In Pod Radis, JJ's Juggernaut won 7-4 over in Rob Retrust. JJ takes top seed and Horngrim also advances, thereby avoiding the spicy three-way tie.
Yeah, in Rob We Trust reached out to me via Discord, and he wants to come on to a future episode. He was interested in talking about this mythical three-way tie, Vassal versus TTS and Onagers. So I look forward to hearing from him in an episode in the near future.
Yes. In Pod Rykian, M. Musterer improves on his 41st overall finish last year and advances to the Swiss alongside Paul. Could be this Paul, could be that Paul. I'm not sure which Paul this is. In Pod Screed, Armchair Jedi loses heavily, 520 to 116 against Cylindrical Bobcat. Bobcat's MC-80 escaped almost certain death at the hands of Salvation and got away on one hull before the squads finished off the last of Leia's fleet. F for Armchair Jedi.
I'm sorry, bud.
Maturin and Cylindrical Bobcat both advanced. Last year's 16th overall LTD needed a better performance by Armchair Jedi and missed the cut by 2 points. Sorry, LTD.
Was there a scenario where LTD didn't rely on you to win this? Like, what would have needed to happen for that to be the case?
I would have had to lose worse to LTD, but unfortunately, I lost the least to LTD, which put him in a bad spot. So either he needs to get better or I need to get worse. Well, we've got a year to figure it out.
Yeah.
Pod Thrawn finished up early. Boba Fett, who was 15th overall last year, has top seed, while Ras Proteus, who was 12th overall last year, also advances. In Pod Vader, Forminder is on top with 25 points and makes the Swiss after finishing 60th last year. Protomaker also advances on 17 points and will have a tough first round. In the final game of Pod Ozzel, Rokax defeated Ronan K 246-209. Rokax will join friend of the podcast Fox Omega in the Swiss. Rokax just missed the semis last year, and Fox Omega finished 43rd. In Pod Grievous, the Red Scourge dropped a tough final match and finishes just out of the Swiss. Severus Snape clinches his advancement to the Swiss with the wind. MHD tabled Star Wars Master in a surprisingly close match for an 8-3 victory. MHD will also advance. In the final match, MHD defeated Severus Snape 6-5 for seeding. MHD will squeak into the top seed by one tournament point, Severus Snape in second with 23. Pod Kraken also finished up early. Last year's semifinalist, Truthiness, was eliminated. Dreadlord Loki, who finished 13th overall last year, and our fellow Canadian Mechanic will advance.
I've been enjoying reading Mechanic's commentary in the Canadian Discord. I like seeing him talk about playing these games.
In Pod Leia, Cadet VW looks to improve on his 21st overall finish last year and is joined by Duckbird. In Pod Tag, B2W waited until the final week to play all three of his matches. He won a close one against Bantha 6-5 and beat Nugandi, also 6-5. Green Knight, who finished 21st last year, advances into the Swiss. For those of you who don't know, Green Knight is the maintainer of the Armada Vassal module, and I just want to take a second to give him another huge thanks for all the work he does that let us keep playing this game in this way.
Yeah, Green Knight is basically one of the reasons I have sanity at this point after 2 years of COVID.
Yes. Everybody in Pod Tag was waiting for B2W's games to finish to see who would join Green Knight, and when the dust settled, it's B2W, who advances with 3 6-5 wins and only a 45 MOV. B2W finished all the way back at 65 last year, and I'm super excited for him to get a shot at the Swiss this year.
Where does that leave him in the Swiss rankings? That's a pretty interesting 3-6-5 wins.
Yeah, he'll be facing MHD from Pod Grievous, who is seeded 5th overall in the Swiss.
Good luck, BTW.
In Pod Jared Gerard, Real Veers' withdrawal allowed Garrett to clinch early, and he finished 9th overall last year. Dark Raver defeated Sippy Backy 7-4, meaning that his SSD fleet will also advance on 20 points. In Pod Sato, Spike lost to Black Admiral, but 5 points was just enough to clinch. Spike and Vimes advance, and neither played last year.
Oh, that's cool. Congrats, guys.
Very big. In Pod Ramadi, Aresius defeated Galerius 7-4 to clinch his spot, and he's joined by Deridian with his VSD fleet, and I'm super, super excited to see a VSD in the Swiss. In Pod Sloan, Rold, who finished 14th overall last year, and Poldi Kalania, who finished 57th, will advance from the other Europod. In Pod Agate, Prismecchio needed a big win against Tiger Koenigs and Flying Wookiee to help him advance, and he came up just a bit short. Tiger Koenigs advances alongside Rimson, who was 51st last year, and is now the top seed in Pod Agate. Finally, in Pod Constantine, Green Dragon defeated Saska 8-3, beating Irish Mad Cat for the last qualifying spot by 1 tournament point. Newcomer Walker also advances. This pod played 1 extra game, so the total score has been averaged out over 3 games, giving Walker 26 and Green Dragoon 29.
And that's the pods.
That's them. Congratulations to everybody who advances. Good games. I hope everybody had fun, even if you didn't advance. You know, it was a great experience for me. I hope it was a great experience for everyone.
And now we're joined by Plausen, who is of the fame of 9 Hammerheads, which I was super excited about. So I'm stoked to have him on the podcast. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks, and thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
Well, it's a bit early in the morning for me, but I'm doing okay. I have another game tonight, so I'm pretty excited about today.
What game are you playing? Is it another event, or is it this one?
It's the last one for the Escalation League, so I'll be flying even more Hammerheads.
Armchair and Mine's Escalation League game, last game, is happening soon. I can't believe that thing is still going on.
Yeah, it took a while, but it's a great tournament, and the games are getting longer and longer with the higher point totals.
Yes, they are. And now your pod is finished. How did you didn't get it out of the pod phase either. I would know if Armchair had reported it.
Yep. No, I didn't make it. I was one tournament point short.
That's too bad. I was really rooting for your Hammerheads.
Me too.
Yeah, so was I. I was very excited for the last game between Roald and Restas, but Roald won a bit too much, so he beat me out. But it happens.
How long have you played Armada?
I think I bought my fleet about 3 years ago. And then for a few months, I played like 2 games because I didn't have any opponents.
And now COVID aside, is there a local community where you play?
Yeah, we have a bit of a local community here in the Netherlands, but it's very quiet because the regulations means there's not a lot you can do right now. So I think I played like 1 real life event before the lockdown happened and then 2 since or something in the times it was allowed.
Wow. So most of your games of Armada have been online at this point.
Yeah, I think at this point I've played more Vassal than I have played real-life games.
Actually, I feel like that's the same. Armchair, would you think the same for your games?
Over my entire Armada career or just in the past 3 years?
Over your entire Armada career.
Yeah, I'd have to say so. I have my situation is more, you know, I've got young kids and I kind of live a little bit farther away from other people in the community. So it's hard for me to actually get in person. So being able to do it over Vassal is super convenient for me to be able to just schedule a game on like a Wednesday night when I don't have to drive anywhere and I can just go to bed right after.
Yeah. So Plausen, did you play in previous Vassal World Cup events? Did you play in last year's?
No, this is the first one I've joined. I wasn't really that far into the Vassal community last year.
How did you get into the Vassal community?
When the lockdown happened, I was basically like a few weeks after the first tournament I played. So I joined a group with a few of the other players. And they said, you know, well, since we can't play in real life, we're going to play digital. And I had no idea that was a thing. So I just started looking around and I first found the TTS mod. And then I joined the Discord communities and they're all very big on Vassal. So that's basically how I got into Vassal with, I think, the Nuzlocke Challenge is the first event that I joined there.
Tell us about your fleet. How did you come about the idea of putting 9 Hammerheads and Ezra into a fleet and mixing them up?
I really want to hear this because this is my kind of crazy.
Yeah. So the basis of this fleet actually is because I joined the digital community. Because they said, we're going to do a tournament. And I was like, oh, great. I can use my fleet like in an online event. And I was like, well, I have very few actual ships because I bought like a Wave 2 secondhand fleet or something. So the most modern thing I had was the Assault Potato. And I was facing off against like a Superstar Destroyer in one of my first matches. So I was like, I can do anything I want. I can take all of the new ships or I can take another faction. And then I thought, well, I could also do something that I would never be able to do in real life because I would never actually get the components. And so I thought about what could I do that's just really weird and I could never do on an actual table. And the first thing that came to my mind was I could fly 10 hammerheads because it would fit in a fleet just barely and see if it works. So for the first tournament I did, I ended up going with 9 hammerheads on Tabletop Simulator with Reaken. And that turned out to be actually hilarious to fly and to fly against. And it actually works decently well. So I made a few changes for the World Cup. Mostly I switched to Dodona, which I don't think was a very good choice, because it gives me a very large bit, but it doesn't actually do anything for the fleet. And from practicing the escalation leak, I found out that Ezra really helps with the objectives. So I added him in as well.
Yeah, I've been missing Ezra or similar toolkit items since I've been playing Republic for the last year and a bit.
Yeah, the ability to move an objective, an obstacle, is very powerful with the right objectives.
You had a 388 fleet point total, so that was a huge bit. I think you had your choice all the way through the pods, didn't you?
Yeah, I think there's only one fleet in the entire cup that had a larger bit than I have.
Right.
The local meta is a bit bigger on bits, so I was afraid that 12 might not even be enough, but it turns out to be overkill.
Well, and that's really interesting, because I felt the same thing. Our local meta, some people before COVID were getting up to 16-point bids, was one of the highest I saw. And, you know, coming out of the previous Green Knight tournament, most of the people that I played against, 5 points was enough to get my choice in almost every game I wanted. So it's kind of interesting how the different metas have different bidding strategies.
I know for myself, I kind of was looking at the data from last year and trying to figure out, okay, you know, what's the minimum I would need to get my choice most of the time. And I kind of settled around 6 or 7 points as that line. And I think the data from this year has kind of bared that out. Although the bids have gotten much smaller. They've kind of trended towards smaller. Just looking at what people have submitted, there's only 3 people with the same or lower or more bids than you've got, Plowsy. And it was Truthiness, Irish Mad Cat, and Angry Ewok. And it's interesting that only one of them advanced. So maybe the lesson there is more bid, not always more better.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming into this event, Plowsian, how did you feel against your pod opponents?
Well, I looked over their fleets, and they're all Imperial, which was interesting. And I figured I could have a decent chance against at least, like, 2 of them had mostly Architens and long-range ships, which is doable with the Hammerheads. And then the last one, he had an Onager, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a quick way to lose a Hammerhead every turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, losing one every turn is perfectly acceptable losses for this fleet. But the problem with the Onager is that it does splash damage. And like most of my objectives are based around everything flying in very tight formation. So I basically looked at it in a test game and I was like, yeah, this thing is going to take out the whole fleet in a few turns because it just splashes into everything. So I had to go first player there so I would be able to do something else. So that was, it's probably the worst thing you can go up against with so many ships.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things that came to our attention was last week, you had that game versus Rolled, where you ran your Hammerheads forward and just mined abandoned mining fields. How did you come to that strategy? What was going through your head when you were picking that?
Yeah, I looked at a lot of fleets in a lot of tournaments, and I realized that basically the game is built for like having 3, maybe 4 ships. And like 5 is already considered to be a very large number. So I went through all of the objectives and I was like, if this is an assumption of the game, then there's bound to be a few objectives that are built around you have 4 ships, but they scale really well with more. And a mining facility is one of them. The whole mechanic of the dust field disappearing if you mine it for more than 1 token is based around, you know, you have a large ship and it's going to vacuum the thing up for points. But the Hammerheads can do that. There are 9 of them, and they can keep farming that thing forever. I don't think the objective was really designed with that idea in mind. So I figured I'd give that a try and just mine as many points as you can. And it worked out pretty well.
I think it's a really cool strategy. I have a hard time committing to it as a strategy. I had a couple opportunities to do it in this event where my opponent or I had abandoned mining facility, and I'm just not confident enough in my ability to mine that hard.
I was watching that game as a spectator, and it was just like I couldn't believe what I was seeing while I was watching this box of hammerheads just march right down the middle. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's very scary, but the great part is you can just practice it on your own because, you know, they fly straight out. So there is very little reaction to the enemy fleet until they got in real close. And at that point, you're like 250 points up.
Yeah. I think you out-tokened him something like 31-8 for the mining facility tokens. It was incredible.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And I mean, it still ends up as a 6-5 because once your opponent gets there, you know, the hammerheads are very fragile. They just get blown apart. But you have such a big lead that you can still score wins.
Yeah. And something else I wanted to ask you about that game, because you are in a very unique position. You are one of the very few people who have seen General Tag in the wild. So what was it like playing against the secretive and often not seen General Tag?
Yeah, it's the first time I've played against him. It was interesting. I did not really take him into account that much, but then I played against him and I was attacking his Demolisher because he had one, and I fired on him for like 3 or 4 damage. And it was like, oh, I'll discard my brace for this. I was like, what? That sounds a little early. But then I realized he was tagged, and next turn he would get it back. And I was like, oh yeah, this is actually, this works out well. And I've seen him do the same thing in other games. So I guess he lets you do things that are not common and unexpected. And that is quite interesting. And I think if you see him a lot, you'll get used to it. But one of the big advantages of playing something that's like not seen much is that people don't know what to expect. And sometimes they'll even think, oh, he's making a mistake. And then they later realize, oh, that wasn't a mistake. That was my mistake for not realizing he could do this.
Right.
It's all part of the plan. So we haven't yet talked about it. Biggs is planning a second chance Swiss tournament. So what's going to happen is all the people that did not succeed at getting into the VWC Swiss, plus anybody who didn't sign up in the first place, have an opportunity to play in a slightly more casual Swiss tournament called Second Chance Vassal World Cup event. Plus, are you planning on signing up for that event?
Yep, I've already signed up for it. I was excited to join another one now that I was eliminated from this.
Me too. Now, are you going to bring the same fleet, or are you going to bring us a different one?
No, I'm going to take a different one. I've flown enough hammerheads for the next couple of months, I think.
I think you've flown more hammerheads than I did my entire Rebel career.
He's going to take the SSD fleet, and that's it.
Go from 9 ships to 1.
Nah, SSD can be fun, but it's not really my thing. Now, I'm actually going to fly a non-Rebel fleet in a tournament for the first time, so I'm excited about it.
What kinds of things are you thinking about in the fleet building of that? Are you taking any of the things that you learned from the VWC, the pod phase that you played, and applying it to the fleet building, or are you just doing something random or fun or whatever?
Yeah, I usually start with I want to make something fun, because I'd rather have a fun fleet that gets eliminated than have a really good one that I don't really enjoy flying. For this one, like most of my fleets, I just started out by looking over a lot of the available options and was like, what sounds really interesting and what sounds like something you don't really see very often, and can I make use of it? So for this one, I found another card that I was like, this could be very strong. You never see anyone use it. Let's just build the fleet around it and see if that works. See what it does.
I feel like you and I are kindred spirits here, Plausian.
It's my favorite way to play.
It's got a VSD for sure.
if it's me, it's got a VSD.
Yeah, I've seen them, but I don't really like Empire. So I'm playing Separatists this time.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I am also signed up for that Second Chance event, and I am bringing a totally different fleet as well. I've had enough of the most clams, some of the time fleets that I've been playing for the last few months. Thanks very much for joining us tonight, Plausian. It was great talking with you, and I look forward to seeing you, or perhaps playing against you, in the Second Chance event.
Yeah, again, thanks for having me, and let's see how the second chance works out.
Thanks for coming, Plausian, and good luck, and I hope you get a chance to play against this guy. And if you happen to beat him, that's okay with me.
That's good to know.
And now back to Armchair Jedi with a preview of some of the Swiss matches that are scheduled.
Yeah, so looking ahead to the Swiss now, obviously, by the time you hear this, we'll know all the matchups. Some of the games will already have been played. But I wanted to take a quick look through some of the top 3 matches, and then just one that we have some personal interest in. So at the top, Broba Fett finished top of the entire pod stack. on 28 points, 783 MOV, still shy of Sam's record from last year, which may stand for quite some time. Broba came out of Pod Thrawn. He's got a Sloniger fleet with Cataclysm, Squall, a Lifeboat Raider, and he's got the best friends, Jendin and Merrick, Soontir, Tell, Two Defenders, Black, and Saber Squadron. In the first round of the Swiss, he's matched up against the 40th seed, Dridian. And Dridian, I have a very soft spot for Dridian's fleet. It's a Jer Gerard bomber list with a Victory Star Destroyer, a Cheap Kuat, BCC Gazanti with the best friends, and he's got Boba Fett, Whisper, and two Fire Sprays.
Can I just ask, what does Corruptor do on the VSD? We don't see a lot of VSDs, let alone Corruptors. Most of the ones I see are either Warlord or Harrow.
Yeah, so Corruptor, it's a 5-point upgrade, and when you use a squadron command, the speed of each of the squadrons with bomber that you activate is increased by 1 until the end of its activation. So the benefit that Dridian gets out of that is that he can push his Fire Sprays at speed 4. So it gives him a little extra boost there that, you know, if you're not paying attention, you might miss out on that and be taken by surprise. Now, Boba Fett, obviously a top-tier player, probably not going to be surprised by that. He'll have a plan. Boba Fett's closest analog to this fleet in the pod face was Nerf Herder's Republic Carrier fleet. And as we know, that did not go well for Nerf Herder. Dridian hasn't faced an Onager yet, but he did have two squad heavy opponents, and he went 1-1 against those opponents. He went second each time. Obviously, the slow VSD is mismatched against the range of the Onager, but the Kuat will do damage against Cataclysm or Squall if it can get in there. Dridian has more rogues, and with the speed boost off of Corruptor, he can almost match Boba Fett's speed. Boba Fett does have the bid, and he chose to go second with the bid when he had the choice in the pods. Opponents have often chosen his Rift Ambush, so we'll see if Dridian does the same or if he likes one of the other options.
It does help that all of Broba's opponents also lost quite badly.
And I mean, the other thing to think about too, I mean, last year I came out and I was in Dridian's position here, and I faced Sam in the first round, and I got
You got beat.
Yeah, I got beat bad. I got beat so bad. But I got beat 9-2 instead of 10-1. So there are moral victories to be had from any outcome.
Yes.
I'm cheering for you, Dridian. I hope that VSD does its job, and I hope you defeat the Onager.
And I bet they're all bad objective choices, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, they're almost certainly all bad. Next up, JJ's Juggernaut is the second seed, and he'll be facing 39th seed Protomaker. JJ finished with 25 points and 654 MOV from Pod Radus. He's got a Martuk fleet with everybody's favorite Patriot Fist, a Munificent, two Reserve Hangar Deck, LTD Hard Cells, and four Tries. Protomaker has got an Obi-Wan MSU fleet with a Clam and four Chargers and lots of mines and no squads. JJ didn't face any MSU in the pods, but Proto faced a TF fleet with similar ships but a different strategy to JJ's. He ended up winning that game 7-4. Protomaker has the bid, and he's had the bid throughout the pods. Opponents have usually chosen his Doom Station. He scored over 400 victory points in two out of his three games on that objective. So big question here is JJ going to tempt Doom Station again, or is there another objective in Protomaker's list that maybe gives him a better chance?
That's a really interesting fleet. That's my kind of fleet. Now I want to fly that.
Which one? The Protomaker Obi-Wan?
The Protomaker Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Lots of chargers, lots of mines. I mean, so many mines. So yeah, it'll be really interesting. There'll be a lot of sort of chess deployment, I think. And then once things start rolling, I wonder if JJ will damn the mines and go full speed ahead, or if they'll really play into the maneuvering phase as well. The three seed is Forminder, and he's playing against Rold, who came out of the same pod as our recent guest Plausian. Forminder has got a Plo Koon fleet with a Ven 2, a BCC Pelta, and two armed Consulars, along with Anakin and 9 BTLs. Rold is rolling his tag fleet into the Swiss. He's got 2 TRC Kittens, Demolisher, Corvus with Iden, 2 Slicer Gazantes, with only Sienna and Morna as squad cover. Rolled squads are not going to be able to stand up to Forminders, but if the Slicers can neuter the bomber wing and prevent them from activating, maybe the ships will be able to kill Forminder's pricey Venator and take the win. Forminder did well against Protomaker's MSU, and Rold's pod was very squad light. Rold has the bid in this one and has taken first player when given the chance. Forminder is also used to going first in the pod, so possibly advantage Rold there.
I do prefer when the underdog has the advantage.
Well, and the thing with Tag 2 against a bomber heavy fleet is that maybe he can use up his redirects and his evades more aggressively and then get them back again. And I wonder if that would be enough to dent the impact of the bomber wing.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And of course, you know, we have the two TRC kittens that are just going to pump out regular solid damage. Demolisher and Corvus can dodge in and do some brawling. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out, and especially the choice of objectives. So I'm always cheering for the underdog, especially when the underdog has got arguably a underpowered commander. So
don't let certain community members hear you say that.
Well, I nobody listens to this podcast, so it's fine. But I'm cheering for General Tag. And lastly, I want to kind of skip down the list a bit and just touch on one that's got some personal interest to you and I. And the 10th seed, Docta, is facing the 31st seed, Maturin. Now, this matters to us. Docta was our Escalation League teammate, and Maturin is one of our local gamers in the Vancouver, BC area.
Actually, this is even more interesting because Maturin was our last team league teammate, and Docta is our current team league teammate.
So because we replaced Maturin with Docta, are you saying that this is advantage Docta? Because
I'm saying that they're fighting for our friendship.
Oh, wow, the stakes are high.
They are high stakes indeed.
No pressure, guys.
Don't worry, you guys. You both have it.
You both. Well, there can be only one.
That's right, actually. There's no four-person team leagues yet. So, yeah, only one of you can have it.
Yeah. Docta has got an Ozzel fleet with an Onager, Squall, and a squad ball that includes Moralo, but no best friends. Maturin's got a Plo Koon Venator 2 with some Peltas, lots of Arcs, Deltas, Anakin, and Axe. Docta faced three other heavy squad lists in the pause and went 3-0. Maturin hasn't faced an Onager in the pod, but he definitely has a more aggressive squad ball. Docta has bid and is generally chosen to go second when given the chance. Maturin has never had the bid, and he has gone second every time somebody is chosen for him. So I think Maturin is probably comfortable if Docta chooses to go second. I think he'd prefer to go second if he could. But the big question here is, with the Venator, is it going to last long enough, basically? You know, if he can get his squads in and do some work against Doctas, I think they can win it over, you know, and then let the Arcs do some work against the Onager and the Squall. If they can't punch through, then that Onager is going to have a field day with some fairly squishy fleet ships.
Yeah, I feel like on the face of it, I feel like Docta's fleet is a little bit more refined. But on the other hand, I have seen Maturin blow away some opponents with this fleet. He's been building it for months, and he's doing really good work with it. So I still think this goes either way.
The thing is, with that squad ball built around Moralo, you bet his objectives are going to be based around moving those tokens around so that he can get Moralo to go crazy nuts all over Maturin's squads. Now, will the Arcs with their high health will help be able to soak some of those hits? But Moralo throws 2 blue, 2 black, and that adds up if you're activating him 2 or 3 times a turn, basically. And with that tie advance, there's somebody who can soak damage coming back at Moralo, who himself has 7 hull anyway. He's got grit, which means unless you lock him down good, he's going to bounce away. So it seems to me that Onager shots aside, if Maturin can manage Moralo and the damage that he can do and the objective damage that Docta's objectives are going to bring, because you know they're going to be built around moving tokens and scoring tokens and so on. So if Maturin can somehow manage that, I think he can win through. And like you said, he's a very, very skilled, very savvy opponent. I'm not going to pick favorites on this one. I'm going to cheer for both of you. And that way, whatever happens, there'll be no hard feelings.
I think what we can say for sure is that no matter what happens to the next team league, we're going to have a very good team member.
Well, I think whatever happens, the next team lead, one of us is going to be on their team, and the other one is going to have to go find a different team. Didn't think of that, did you?
Did not think of that.
Yep.
All right, with that, I think that's it for tonight. I'm Rythos42.
And I'm Armchair Jedi.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
It's a wrap. Thanks for listening to The Food and Beat Show. We don't have a Patreon or Apple reviews for you to give us, but if you have a story you'd like to tell us or feedback on the podcast, write us at foodandbeatarmada@gmail.com or on Discord. Listen to us next week for more Vassal World Cup commentary.